Ream it, print it.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Today we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls and talk about some of the major issues in the news and see what is on your mind about some of the things that we've been hearing about for the last 24 hours on the NPR News and Democracy Now. And maybe you've been reading about stories in the paper that you want to talk about. Our phone number here at WMNF is 813-239-9663. And you can also email the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Just a reminder that the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings to the U.S. Supreme Court are underway right now, and we're carrying them live over on our HD3 channel. You can hear them by going to our website, wmnf.org/listen, and it'll tell you what to do next, or you can listen on your HD radio. So if you heard Amy Goodman's coverage of the Kavanaugh hearings, both yesterday and today, very interesting. And if you want to talk about that, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Those hearings should go on for another 3 or 4 days, and then there will be a vote on whether or not to confirm him. And I'm going to mention a few news stories from the past few hours and get your take on it. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. The U.S. trade deficit increased to a 5-month high in July as exports of soybeans and civilian aircraft fell, and imports to the U.S. hit a record high, suggesting that trade could be a drag on economic growth in the third quarter. The increase was the biggest monthly widening since 2015. Commerce Department said today the trade gap jumped 9.5% in the last 5 months. The politically sensitive goods traded with China surged 10% to a record $36.8 billion. President Trump has defended his duties on steel, aluminum imports, and a range of Chinese goods as necessary to protect American industries from what he says is unfair foreign competition. But apparently that's not stopped huge imports to the U.S. Well, there's a new federal report criticizing FEMA's response to Hurricane Maria last year, a storm that killed 3,000 people in Puerto Rico. Here's a report from the Associated Press.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office says there were staff shortages, and 54% of federal emergency personnel were not qualified to do the rescue work. The report also cites the logistical challenges, power outages on the island, and language barrier. Just last week, President Trump said FEMA did a great job.
I think we did a fantastic job in Puerto Rico. We're still helping Puerto Rico.
The GAO's Director of Emergency Management, Christopher Curry, says FEMA was already stretched thin with two other hurricanes and wildfires, and the damage to Puerto Rico delayed reports of just how bad it was. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
So we could talk about that. The disaster in Puerto Rico, still feeling the fallout from that. Police in Dallas, Texas, detained a ranting man this morning accused of crashing a pickup truck into a Fox affiliate television station in downtown Dallas during a live newscast. The TV station KDFW posted details on Facebook showing photos of the front of the vehicle rammed into windows near an entrance. The man paced and scattered numerous handwritten papers outside. He was not able to enter the building and was soon arrested. An anchor and reporter at KDFW-TV who witnessed the man pacing outside the station before he was arrested said the man was yelling about high treason and that he believed he had clearly been wronged and that someone was trying to kill him. Well, we could talk about that, too. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. There's a teacher shortage here in Florida and a teacher shortage around the country. It's growing. And one reason that some people say may be low teacher pay. Here's a report. Let's listen in on this.
Educators and students across the country
are headed back to school this month, but a new study finds more and more teachers are struggling as the gap widens between what they're paid and what they could be making in other lines of work. The report out today from the nonpartisan Economic Policy Institute shows on average U.S. teachers make about 24% less than professionals in other fields who have similar levels of education. The report shows the pay gap began growing in the late 1990s as wages in other labor markets were increasing, but education wasn't keeping up. Lawrence Michel, one of the study's authors, says the trend continued during and after the Great Recession.
A lot of that had to do with states actually cutting taxes for the rich and for corporations. And those that do that, you know, basically try to make their budgets balance by cutting one of the main parts of what every state budget is, which is education.
Michelle says many states slashed education budgets during the recession, but never restored funding in the years since the recovery. He says the results have been completely predictable, with many teachers leaving the profession entirely. The issue is about more than just fair wages for teachers. Michelle says the economic stability of the country depends on the next generation of workers getting a great education.
Teaching is really important, and you know, you can't keep a effective teacher workforce if you are going to continuously lower their pay relative to what they can get in other jobs.
The study found the pay gap between teachers and other professionals was widest in Arizona, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Colorado, all states where teachers have staged protests this year. Catherine Davis-Young reporting.
Well, we could talk about low pay, teacher pay, too. I'm just bringing up a bunch of topics. Let's see where you want to take this conversation. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. There's a lot of controversy involving President Trump's head of the Environmental Protection Agency, and it turns out that he spent quite a heck of a lot of money when he was in office. The financial watchdog of the EPA has issued a report looking at how much the former director of Trump's EPA spent on security and travel.
The Environmental Protection Agency Inspector General reports former EPA Chief Scott Pruitt spent $3.5 million on security without proving the need for it. That included nearly $1 million in travel expenses for Pruitt's bodyguards. Pruitt resigned in July under pressure from multiplying scandals. The IG report on his tenure reveals he increased the security detail from 6 under his predecessor to 19. Pruitt's transportation costs more than tripled, the report says, in part because of his insistence on first-class travel for himself and a bodyguard. I'm Warren Levinson.
So if you want to weigh in on that, you can email us in the studio here. Our address, dj@wmnf.org. That's dj@wmnf.org. This morning, President Trump tweeted, blasting the NFL and Nike after the latest featured free agent quarterback, Nike featured an ad with free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick as the face of its latest ad campaign. That has prompted anger from conservatives. Trump tweeted this morning, just like the NFL, whose ratings have gone way down, Nike is getting absolutely killed with anger and boycotts. Trump added, I wonder if they have any idea that it would be this way. As far as the NFL is concerned, he tweeted, I find it hard to watch and always will until they stand for the flag. Trump's comments came a day before the NFL season kicks off. There have been a number of burnings of Nike products across the country, and here's just a sample of what's been going on around the country as people that don't like the extension of Colin Kaepernick's contract with Nike, they don't like it, so they're burning Nike products. Here's a sample.
I'm going to enjoy. Hell, I might buy some Adidas. You know how many other sneakers there are to buy? To choose from. You're going to go ahead and say, hey, buy them our shoes. We stand with people who kneel for the national anthem. Well, sorry, Nike. I've been buying you for the past 20 plus years. Not anymore. Not only am I burning my favorite pair of Nikes, you are burning your sales. Have a good day.
It's a pair of Nike shoes. So everybody to see. Throwing this in the fire because of Colin Kaepernick is now the face of Nike. Take this, Nike. Here, I just bought about 3 days ago. Five pairs of shoes in there, all gonna let them burn. Because Nike decided to make Colin Kaepernick their ambassador. When he doesn't share the same opinions as the people.
When you disrespect the flag, when you disrespect the anthem, you're not protesting against racism. What you're doing is you are disrespecting our military, those who have fought and died to protect and make this country free. And I'm sorry, but you should have protested like everybody else and picked up a sign or something. Hope your stock prices fall.
Just a sample of some of the people around the country who have been burning Nike products in the last 2 days as news came out that Nike has extended its endorsement contract with Colin Kaepernick. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. President Trump has been very hard in the last 24 hours on Bob Woodward, the investigative reporter's new book on the White House. President Trump and members of his administration are disputing quotations and anecdotes attributed to them in a new book by journalist Bob Woodward, in which the president is disparaged as an idiot and his White House as crazy town. Here's another report from the Associated Press.
Bob Woodward's fear Trump in the White House has set off a West Wing firestorm, with descriptions of aides like Chief of Staff John Kelly calling the president an idiot and Pentagon Chief Jim Mattis comparing him to a fifth or sixth grader. In audio of a phone call released by the Washington Post, Woodward in August told the president he tried several times to speak with him for the book, but the manuscript was already submitted.
I'm just hearing about it, so we're going to have a very inaccurate book, and that's too bad, but I don't blame you entirely.
The president now has a different take, labeling the book's stories and quotes as frauds, a con on the public. Kelly and Mattis strongly deny their parts of the book. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Now, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is quoted in Bob Woodward's book as telling associates that Trump acted like and has the understanding of a fifth or sixth grader. Chief of Staff John Kelly is quoted as calling Trump an idiot and lamenting we're in crazy town, but both officials in the last 24 hours have denied those accounts that are contained in Bob Woodward's new book, which is called Fear. President Trump tweeted this morning very harshly about the new book, and he tweeted all day yesterday very harshly about the book. The president said this morning in a tweet, "Isn't it a shame that someone can write an article or book, totally make up stories and form a picture of a person that is literally the exact opposite of the fact and get away with it without retribution or cost? Don't know why Washington politicians don't change libel laws?" Question mark. So the president being very tough on the Woodward book. The president was very conversational just a few weeks ago when he spoke with Bob Woodward, as Woodward had just wrapped up the book and spoke with President Trump and told him that he had been trying to reach him for several months. Let's listen into that conversation between Bob Woodward, the investigative reporter, and President Trump. This is the actual recording provided on the Washington Post website today. Let's listen in on how the two men treated each other and whether or not Woodward attempted to get a quote from President Trump before finishing the book.
How you doing? Okay.
Real well. I'm turning in my tape recorder.
Oh, that's
with
okay.
Your permission.
That's okay.
I'm sorry we missed the opportunity to talk for the book.
Well, I just spoke with Kellyanne, and she asked me if I got a call. I never got a call. I never got a message. Who did you ask about speaking to me?
Well, about six people.
They don't tell me.
Senator, I talked to Kellyanne about it 2.5 months ago. She came for lunch.
Well, it's too bad. Of course, you and I had a conversation, a couple of years ago, and so that, I think, got you there a little bit. And we had a conversation many years ago, if you remember, in Trump Tower.
I did.
That has to be 20 years ago. And you were thinking about doing a book about me then, which is interesting. Who knew it would have been on this subject, right? Yeah, that was not in the cards at that time.
That's right. Well, I'm sorry.
I still remember that.
I spent a lot of time on this, talked to lots of people.
Good.
And as you know and are living, we're at a pivot point in history.
Right.
And I would have liked to have done that, and I maximized my effort.
Right.
Somehow it didn't get to you.
It's really too bad because nobody told me about it, and I would have loved to have spoken to you. You know I'm very open to you. I think you've always been fair, but we'll see what happens. But all I can say is the country is doing very well. We're doing better economically just about that at any time. We're doing better on unemployment maybe than ever. You know, I mean, if you look at the unemployment numbers, you've heard me say it, and we're doing better on unemployment than just about ever. We're having a lot of companies are moving back into our country, which is would have been unheard of 2 years ago. If the other administration or representatives of it had kept going, or kept, you know, if the other group had won, I will tell you that you would have, I think you'd have a GDP of less than zero. I think we would have been going in the wrong direction because regulations are such a big part of what we've done, Bob.
Well, I understand that point of view, and as you know, it's also a difficult time where the political system and you and my business is being tested.
Yeah.
And you know, I take it very seriously. I've done books on 8 presidents going back from Nixon, Obama.
Right.
And I learned something about reporting, frankly, Mr. President.
Good.
I've got to go talk to people and see them outside of the White House and outside of their offices, and gained a lot of insight and documentation. And it's, you know, it's a tough look at the world and your administration and you.
Right. Well, I assume that means it's going to be a negative book, but, well, you know, I'm sort of 50% used to that. That's all right. Some are good and some are bad. Sounds like this is going to be a bad one.
It's a chance missed, and I don't know how things work over there in terms
of getting to you. Well, if you would call Madeline in my office, did you speak to Madeline?
No, I didn't. But
Madeline is the key. She's the secret
because I talked to Raj about it. I talked to Kelly.
Well, a lot of them are afraid to come and talk, or, you know, they are busy. I'm busy. But I don't mind talking to you. I would have spoken to you. I spoke to you 20 years ago, and I spoke to you a year and a half or 2 years ago.
I
certainly don't mind talking to you, and I wish I could have spoken to you.
Well,
but nobody called my office. I mean, you went through, different people.
Mr. President, how can I spend all this time talking to people and like Kellyanne and Raj? And Republican senators, I mean...
Who were the senators? No, they never called me about it.
Senator Graham said he had talked to you about talking to me. Now, is that not true?
Senator Graham actually mentioned it quickly on one meeting.
Right. We'll see.
You know, that is true. Well, that is true. Mentioned it quickly, not like, you know... And I would certainly have thought that maybe you would have called the office. But that's okay. I'll speak to Kellyanne. I am a little surprised that she wouldn't have told me.
Yeah,
in fact, she just walked in. I'm talking to Bob Woodward. He said that he told you about speaking to me, but you never told me. Why didn't you tell me? I would have been very happy to speak to him. All right, so what are you going to do?
Well,
so I have another bad book coming out.
It goes on, and, you know, what you can count on is that I've been very careful. And Evelyn, are you on?
Yes.
Evelyn Duffy, who's my assistant, Mr.
Hello, Evelyn.
President, she transcribed all the tapes because, with permission, I tape people for hundreds of hours.
Good.
And I think there's nothing in this book that doesn't come from a first-hand source. Is that correct, Evelyn?
I believe.
But are you naming names, or do you just say sources?
Yeah. Well, it names real incidents. So.
No, but do you name sources? I mean, are you naming the people, or just say you know, people have said?
I say at 2 o'clock on this day, the following happened, and everyone who's there, including yourself, it is quoted, and I'm sorry I didn't get to ask you about these.
I mean, you do know I'm doing a great job for the country. You do know that NATO now is going to pay billions and billions of dollars more, as an example, than anybody thought possible, that other presidents were unable to get more, and it was heading downward. You do know all of the things I've done and things that I'm doing. I'm in the process of making some of the greatest trade deals ever to be made. You do understand that stuff.
I understand, and I would have loved to go through a discussion with you about NATO, because this, you know, goes back to early in your administration and your concern about it and the agreement that the countries have that they would increase their defense contribution, by the year 2024.
The Secretary Stoltenberg, he said, I believe $44 billion just last year, and that was from last year's meeting, and this year it's much more money they've agreed to put up. So it's a tremendous amount of money. No other president has done it. It was heading down in the opposite direction, so I don't know if you're going to report it that way. Probably not, but it's too bad, but that's all right. But, you know, one of those things.
Everything is going to be factual, and it is not a good thing for my business, if I may say this to you, Mr. President, to the presidency or to the country, to not have real full exchanges on these. And I broke my spear on it trying to get to you.
Well, other than Lindsay, who did quickly mention nobody told me about it. Well, let me ask her. Why don't you speak to Kellyanne? Ask her. She never told me about it.
Hey, Bob, how are you? Hi.
Remember 2.5 months ago you came over and I laid out I wanted to talk to the president, and you said you would get back to me?
I do, and I put in the request, but, you know, it was rejected. I can only take it so far. I guess I can bring it right to the president next time. But I try to follow all the protocols, or else I'm accused of being somebody who doesn't follow protocol.
President Trump, I just want you to know I made every effort.
Did you? But you had talked to Hope, right, who said no?
Listen, I talked to anyone I could.
You talked to a number of people, and they all said no?
Raj. He was going to push it out.
Hope, me.
Yeah.
So you said you tried to talk to everybody. What about when you interviewed other people?
Yeah.
They all said yes?
Yeah, well.
That they try?
About 6 or 7 people I tried, and I couldn't have, you know, you and I spent a whole lunch on it, Kellyanne, and I said, I want to cover the substantive issues in foreign policy and domestic policy, and you said you would get back to me. Nothing.
Yeah, so I did. I presented it to the people here who make those decisions, but anyway, I'll give you back to the president, and I'm glad to hear that you tried through 7 or 8 different people. That's good. You should tell him all the names. Thank you.
But you never called for me. It would have been nice, Bob, if you called for me in my office. I mean, I have a secretary. I have 2-3 secretaries. If you would have called directly, a lot of people are afraid that Raj, I hardly have, you know, I don't speak to Raj.
I do,
and Kellyanne went to somebody, but she didn't come to me. And she should have come to me. She does have access to me, absolutely. She has direct access, but she didn't come to me. Yeah. And you know what? That's okay. I'll just end up with another bad book. What can I tell you?
It's surprising to me that these people, did Raj have access to you?
Not really, but he would have been able to do it. But I have an office. You have the office number. I have an office that's directly into my office. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you what matters. The economy is the best it's been in many, many decades, and it's going to get a lot better, and the country is doing very well. That's what's important.
Yes, sir. I thought
we're doing a good job.
Kind of say, let's not talk about this because the book is done.
Yeah, I know.
The president, but you know, that's the position we're in, and it's one I tried to avoid. You need to know I made maximum effort.
All right, it's too bad.
Yes, sir.
I'm just hearing about it, and I heard, I did hear from Lindsay, but I'm just hearing about it, so we're going to have a very inaccurate book, and that's too bad.
No, it's
but I don't blame you entirely.
It's going to be accurate.
All right, okay. Well, accurate is that nobody's ever done a better job than I'm doing as president, that I can tell you. So that's, and that's the way a lot of people feel that know what's going on, and you'll see that over the years. But a lot of people feel that, Bob. So
I believe in our country, and because you're our president, I wish you good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it. Bye.
Well, that was the much-talked-about phone call between President Trump and Bob Woodward as his book had been wrapped up, and they had a conversation about Woodward's attempts during the course of writing the book to interview President Trump directly. And as you heard Woodward say, he talked to six or seven people within the White House or who were close to the president and was unable to get a on-the-record meeting. President Trump very angry at the Woodward book, tweeting out this morning, "Isn't it a shame that someone can write an article or book, totally make up stories, and form a picture of a person that's literally the exact opposite of the fact, and get away with that without retribution or cost?" Let's take some phone calls. Lots of topics on the table. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Teresa in St. Petersburg. Teresa, which of those topics do you want to take on?
Well, let's see. I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. I've never bought a Nike thing in my life, but I just might go out and do it because now they're standing for freedom. At least for Colin to have his right to, you know, what, you know, kneel for the...
Yeah, it really does raise the question, what is freedom? What is freedom? Is it the flag?
Exactly.
Is it saluting the military? Or is it the freedom to speak out wherever you are, including the workplace? I mean, that, it's a great question. What is freedom?
Yeah. But anyway, I might actually go out and buy a Nike thing. And second, Trump, well, you know, everything he says is a lie. NATO, they have this... what was it, 2014, they all talked about giving more money. So that's nothing new. We already knew about that. And the jobs and the economy has been doing good since 2009. Each month they've been adding jobs. And I don't know what companies he's talking about coming back in droves. I've heard several that are leaving, like the one that one in Indiana.
Yeah, Carrier is still moving, and GM announced just a few weeks ago.
Several, so I don't know what he's talking about there. Of course, most of what he says is a lie anyway, so who can believe him? I don't. And then about the teachers, Republicans are going to get rid of public schools one way or another, so they starve it and they don't pay the teachers so that they'll all quit, and then they won't have anybody for the public school system. That's what I have to say.
All right, Teresa, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting the conversation. All right.
All right.
You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about some big items in the news. We've got one open line. It is 813-239-9663. I'm Rob Lurie. We can talk about that phone conversation between Bob Woodward and President Trump. We can talk about the disaster in Puerto Rico. We can talk about teacher pay. We could talk about the extravagant travel by President Trump's former EPA chief. We could talk about the man driving his truck into a Fox TV station in Dallas this morning, ranting about treason, apparently. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bob in Tampa. Bob, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I was calling about the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Sure.
I find it fascinating that, first of all, we have the freedom of speech. So if you want to kneel, it's not like you're saying, hey, I'm anti-military or I'm anti-flag. You're just protesting something, protesting police abuse, and they're not doing it to say, hey, we're against the military. But it sounds like the people who don't like Colin Kaepernick, they want him to protest a certain way, which I find really strange. And then the other thing I find strange is I wonder if people... I mean, to me, it's fine. If you want to wear a bathing suit that's in the shape of a flag or the colors or a cuppa, you want to have your, you know, 4th of July paper plates that are the flag, why don't they think that's disrespectful? I don't think it is, but it just seems like you're just picking on one certain thing because somebody keeps repeating, hey, this person is being disrespectful. Kaepernick is being disrespectful to the military and to our flag, which I just completely disagree with.
Yeah, you know, I can remember a day when it was wrong to leave your flag flying outdoors, and that you had to take it in at night, and you couldn't let it fly during the rain. Yeah. But those days are way over, including by those people, I think, who consider themselves super patriots. They leave the flag flying through all sorts of weather conditions that, at least back according to the old rules, you shouldn't let it happen. And then you're right. I mean, there are flags everywhere. I remember hippies in the 60s and 70s who would show or sew patches of flags on their jeans, and they were called out on that, saying that that's disrespectful to the flag. Now, flags are everywhere. You're right. They're on paper plates and cups and, yeah, all sorts of weird places. All right, Bob, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Nice show.
All right, thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Well, Rob, that clip you played between Woodward and Trump, that alone should show all the Trump supporters what kind of a man Trump is. First of all, you've got to admire Trump. People say he's crazy, senile, incompetent, scattered, etc. Now, if you listen to him on there, he is a master con man using deep propaganda techniques, very affable, very forgiving, great tone of voice, giving Woodward so much backhanded praise, and he's also very clever. Look at how he sets up his own assistant, Kellyanne Conway, to basically be humiliated on the phone, admitting that she should have told Trump, but she didn't, etc. You'll also see Trump asking for the names. Who did you try and talk to? And it fits perfectly with what Woodward says in his book, which is that behind the scenes, Trump is a very vicious person with his staff, which is creating the problems that led to people talking to Woodward about how bad Trump is. Because there's no loyalty from Trump. He makes fun of everyone on his staff, sometimes in ways that are racist or like what he's done to Sessions publicly. Here's the other thing, is that the important part is Trump's own lawyers in Woodward's book are saying that Trump is a pathological liar, and that's why they quit. Now, you don't quit the job of being president's lawyer unless you've got a pretty big reason, because being president's lawyer is a prestige position. They quit because he's a serial perjurer, and they knew that they can't let Mueller get anywhere near him because he will definitely perjure himself and then be indictable and impeachable. The other thing is this, Kavanaugh, the main reason to oppose him isn't just that he's a regressive on social issues like abortion. He believes that Trump should have kingly, royal, monarchical immunity from prosecution and indictment and impeachment. Kavanaugh should not even, they shouldn't even be considering him. But if anyone listening to that still believes Trump is honest, when he said nobody told him Woodward wanted to talk to him, and then in the same conversation admitted that Lindsey Graham did, the man is sick and he should not be president.
All right. Gary, thanks for your thoughts. Thanks. I think Gary's right about that. At first, the president starts out by saying that nobody told him, and then he somehow recalls that Lindsey Graham did ask him that Woodward wanted to do an interview. And I thought Kellyanne Conway was just covering up for the president, as you listen back to that. She said, I put in the request, but it can only be taken so far. But yet she's right in the office with Trump overhearing a conversation. So, you know, do you believe that she didn't put in the request to President Trump from Bob Woodward, or was she just covering up for the president? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Mike writes in, and he says, I'm mispronouncing Colin Kaepernick's name. So, Mike, thank you for that. I'll try to do better. Jason writes this, notice all the denials from the White House staff are all vague and generalized. Not one of them has disputed a specific claim yet, because they know Mr. Woodward has tapes, writes Jason. And then Ed in Largo says, Nike will get many new customers from this move. These are super patriots who are burning Nike products, they have no conception that Nike is a worldwide brand name that has 100% researched the cost-benefit ratio of this matter. Ignorance is surely bliss to the shoe burners. Colin Kaepernick has more courage in his little finger than these super patriots have in anything that matters in this money-hungry world today, writes Ed in Largo. Gina writes this regarding teacher pay. She says, teachers never made great pay. They did it for the love of the job. But it's gotten so that these days, teachers can't make a living wage. They can't support their own families. Who would want to be a teacher these days, writes Gina. And Adam sent in this email. He says, interesting how Woodward catches him on a lie on the phone. Trump says no one told him, then admits Lindsey Graham did tell him. I can't wait to hear the Woodward tapes. I can only imagine what's on those. Well, you're listening to a live program. We're talking about the news here on WMNF on Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. And let's take some more phone calls. If you want to agree or disagree with anything you've heard, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. And Bill Grace is among our phone producers today. We're going to go to Tina in Tampa. Tina, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi. I had to say this. When I listened to what the conversation between Bob Woodward and President Trump for the first time on your station, and when President Trump got to the part where he started saying, you do know I'm doing a really great job, I had to start laughing out loud. I think that President Trump, this is the takeaway I get from it. He is almost delusional. I think he really believes that. Because in that book, we really don't hear all that much that we haven't already heard about the White House and the inner workings and the Oval Office. We get some specifics that are really, I think, you know, for me, when I read that one of his aides had to took a letter off of his desk, and thought, wow, he's really out of touch, and they're really frightened what he's going to do. But overall, it's nothing new. But to hear him dance around and almost like he's trying to convince himself or whatever, you do know I'm doing a really great job. Like, please agree with me. It's funny and to laugh, but it's really not funny because he has got the most powerful office in the land, if not, you know, on the planet. And this is the person who is running it. He's unpredictable. He's childish. That's scary. And all these books that are coming out, this book, The Fire and the Fury, and the other one, of course, the one with Omarosa, what was the name of it? I wrote it down.
Now I've forgotten it.
That was like unhinged.
Yeah,
that's unhinged, like one, right. The pot calling the kettle black. I mean, really, both of them are a little unhinged. But This is not anything new, but the question is, will people still vote for him? Probably, in spite of all this. That's the really scary thing, that people aren't, you know, the people who are his base, they're devoted to him no matter what.
Well, I think that base really believes those things he just said. President Trump said nobody has ever done a better job as president. He said the country is doing better economically than just about at any time in history, and that lots of companies are moving back to the U.S. I think if you fact check those three statements wouldn't be true. But I think that's what the president believes, and by saying it, repeating that over and over again, I think that's what his supporters believe too.
That's just the thing. He says things and he repeats them and repeats them and repeats them. And I think that if he says that enough, his supporters start to grab onto it, even though all the evidence and everything says the opposite. I want to ask one quick question. The economy, yes, it's doing good and unemployment is low, but really, is that President Trump's doing, or wasn't that based on the policies of President Obama? I mean, I always understood that how the economy was doing was always like a few years behind.
There is a lag time, especially if you think about the investments that President Obama made in domestic spending, and he made a lot. Some were controversial, and I think you could give President Obama a year or two after leaving office. But once you get into the, you know, after 18 months or 2 years, then I think it really begins to be the policies of the new administration. So I think that's why Republicans are taking heart. They're looking at Wall Street as a measure of the economy, and they're looking at stock prices as a measure of the economy. Those are all doing well. thing that's harder to see, I think, because we don't have a daily measure of that, is how many people are entering the middle class and are comfortable. And we don't have a way to measure that. But if you, but the economists, like at the Economic Policy Institute, we just heard a guy talking about teacher salaries from that institute. They say the middle class is shrinking. It's really people aren't getting more comfortable. They're getting less comfortable. Wow. And one of the biggest problems is student debt for young people who are in their teens, 20s, and 30s. Their debt is a depression on our economy. But when we look at the Wall Street figures every day, it doesn't measure how most of us are doing. It measures how Wall Street's doing, but that doesn't reflect you or I.
Yes, that's so true. And the thing about Wall Street is how many people have enough investment there to live on, not, you know, well, the 1% does. Anyway, yeah.
All right,
we'll
Tina.
We'll be better in the last 2 years. Okay, thanks.
Tina, thanks a lot. All right, thank you. 813-239-9663. Imad writes, I grew up in football country. I loved football, but over the last years, it's become less sports and more spectacle. I don't follow it anymore. It bores me to tears, but kudos to Nike. The commercial media has created a fan base that buys big trucks, gets obese on junk food, and stays buzzed on beer. Now the failed president whips them to stand for the anthem and honor the flag. Meanwhile, the true patriots taking a knee on the field give honor to the republic for which it stands while bringing to light the lack of liberty and justice for all, writes Imad. Yeah, what is a true show of patriotism? Is it to stand up and salute the flag when the military jets fly over to honor those military jets? Or what is the truest demonstration of patriotism? Or is it, as Colin Kaepernick and others have done, when things need to be fixed, when things are unfair, and in a democratic society, you speak up to try to make the country better? Is that more patriotic? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Robert in Bradenton, who wants to talk about Nike and Colin Kaepernick. Robert, you're on.
Hi, thanks. Boy, your callers and your emailers are certainly fired up, and I really love the fact that people are putting their opinions out there. Very great discussion. I would just have two quick points, if I could, about Colin Kaepernick. I'm sure Nike did a focus group, or many focus groups, as people have said, to gauge the response to this. And I'm sure they're betting that all the older white people who don't buy Nike products, who may be turned off on this, will be way overshadowed by all the urban and, in many cases, minority people who do buy Nike products, who will support this. Second thing I would say is that the people who say that you should have a time and place to protest miss the whole thing. If a time and place to protest were really, really the way to go, then the people who were in the Boston Tea Party would have been arrested and thrown in jail by the British right away. But the Patriots side supported because it was an act of civil disobedience. One more quick point. Colin Kaepernick is always referred to as the black ex-NFL quarterback, and he and I lived in the same town back in the old days when I was younger.
What town was that?
Turlock, California.
Okay.
California, Northern California. I'm an old white guy, but my daughter and he went to the same school briefly. At any rate, he's not black. He's half black. He's always referred to as black because of the institutionalized racism we have in this country. If anybody's partially black, they're automatically black. Well, he's half white, so why is he referred to as a white quarterback half the time?
That's a good question. All right. Now, Robert, thanks a lot. And that goes back, of course, to the miscegenation laws from Louisiana, the one-drop rule that you've probably read about or maybe haven't read about in your history books. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Arlene writes this, our great patriot with heel spurs, which five times kept him from ever serving in the military and who has yet to visit a veterans hospital, is having a fit over Nike. Arlene goes on to say, I really, truly want everyone to get back the money they paid in taxes that went to Trump's swamp people and Trump, who used it for plane trips, furniture, golf games, clothing, hotels, and on and on. I want Rick Scott to do the same, and then we'll have enough money for the teachers, writes Arlene. And then somebody from the 813 area code writes this, I predict Woodward's book will be in the bargain bin alongside Michael Wolff's masterpiece, writes Chris in Tampa. I guess we'll see whether or not it soars to the top of the bestseller lists. Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and this is Community Radio, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. And let's go to our next caller. We're going to go to Gary in Tampa about the jobs coming back part of President Trump's recording there with Bob Woodward. Gary, thanks for calling in. Take it away.
Hey, Rob. Great show. Hey, you know, the jobs that are coming back, when they left here, they were all union. A lot of them were union, good-paying jobs. Chances are when they come back, they're not going to be paying as well. And years ago, there was a milk company in Tampa, Borden's, and they closed their doors. And there used to be a milk company called Velda Farms. Well, Borden's came back. They used to be union. Borden's over there by the stadium was union. And now they came back to Tampa around here, and they're non-union. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, how does that improve the middle class if you bring back jobs and instead of paying people $20 an hour, you're paying them $10 an hour?
Exactly. That's what I'm. I don't know if you can make sense out of what I said, but
yeah, no, I think we got you. Yeah.
Okay, Rob.
All right, Gary. Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Of course, you know, we used to call them runaway shops. There used to be a lot of manufacturing up north, especially in the Midwest and the Northeast. And in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, they all ran south because they could get away from the unions up north and they could come down here to the south. And most counties are not like Hillsborough County in Tampa, which was heavily unionized, in part due to the cigar workers going back to the 1930s. But they came down here, and I think a lot of southern people thought, oh, great, industry's coming here. And then what we found out in the 90s and the aughts was that they left the South and then moved to places like Mexico and China, because companies just simply want to find the lowest cost of labor that they'd have. Usually, not every country, but usually they have no loyalty to the city, no loyalty to the workers. They want to make a buck, and the best way to make a buck is to pay people as little as possible. And so I think Gary's right. You know, they left here because they didn't want to create that middle class anymore. They didn't realize perhaps that they were decimating the middle class, but that's what they did. Let's go to Matt in Tampa. Matt, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, you know, I'm a walking enigma. I got to tell you something really quick. I'm the exact statistical person that should be for Colin Kaepernick. I'm Hispanic and black. I'm from an urban background. Pop spent some time in prison. So I've even had interactions with police officers here in Tampa where one of them told me, you know, he's going to go shoot some cans. And his partner said cans. And he said, yeah, Puerto Rican. So I've seen the racism with cops. But I got to tell you, I don't agree with Colin. I think he's being foolish right now. I think if he really was serious about improving relations between law enforcement and the black community, play the game, make the money, pay your taxes, and whatever free time and free resources you can put toward the black community, then do that. That would improve relations. Not just taking a knee. I mean, to me, it's a little passive. That's just me talking. And that's just how I feel about
that. Yeah. You know, I think his problem is, though, nobody wants to hire him. And you know, I don't know how much of the last 4 or 5 years he's spent protesting because he's been looking for a job, too. So, you know, his thing is now he thinks that the NFL owners have conspired to keep him out of the league, even though, you know, he's got this great track record there in San Francisco. So go ahead.
He comes too many ways. It's over now. Now it's done.
Yeah.
He might as well forget it now. He might as well go play European football. These guys here, man, I'm going to be real with you.
But here's the question, Matt. Is that based on his lack of playing ability, or is that based on the owners don't like him?
That's based on the owners don't like him. I mean, he's a black. He's half black, half white. But let's be real. He's a black. He's a brother. He was supposed to just keep his mouth shut and play the ball and play the game. That's what he's supposed to. That's the system. That's how it is. As much as people want to ideologically argue the fact and say, oh, it shouldn't be, that's how it is. That's how it will always be. It's never going to change. And I just feel that he could do a lot more good if he did what Derrick Brooks did. Open up a school. Open up a charter school and force these black kids to get into college and push them academically. That's how you make a difference. And it help them to see that law enforcement, yeah, sometimes you got your good and your bad, but you know what? You got to just take it how it comes to you. And That's all I want to say.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks for adding to the conversation.
All right, bye.
All right, good to hear from you. All right, what do you think about what Matt said? You know, I think Kaepernick does have a foundation. I don't know what he does with the money, but, you know, I'll have to look it up. I'm not going to just say it off the top of my head, but we should look that up. What does Kaepernick, what does his foundation do? And we might find out, as Matt suggested, that he does really good things with the money, like some other players have done. Somebody from the 813 area code writes this: I had the same thought as your first caller. I never bought a Nike product in my life, but I decided to go buy two pairs of tennis shoes, one boy's and one girl's Nike tennis shoes, and donate them to charity and let Nike know. I'm going to get in touch with them and let them know I did this because I think they have the right message this time. Let's take some more phone calls, and this is WMNF in Tampa, the Bay Area's community radio station. NOLA's coming up in the next hour with the Midpoint program, and we do these public affairs shows starting at 9 a.m. in the morning with a great program called Democracy Now that has a lot of deep information on it day in and day out. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I agree with Kaepernick. His way of doing it. That's the correct way of doing it. They've been doing it for years that way. And I believe that if you have a right to protest, you show it and you speak out. And that's his First Amendment right. And if Donald Trump doesn't want to watch NFL football, then, you know, they don't need him. And matter of fact, I think they kind of had their issue with him years ago. They don't even want him around. So he was part of that, and they kind of like kicked him out. So basically, and as far as everything on that tape, I believe everything that went down. Bob Woodward is a Pulitzer Prize winner. Twice as he, as evidenced by the case, I agree with Gary. He'll throw anybody under the bus. He tries to. I agree with a lot of people who said that. And did you see where Jamie Gutenberg? You heard about that, right? Where he went to Kavanaugh, and he told him who he was.
Yeah, I watched it, and then Democracy Now! Had an interview with Mr. Gutenberg this morning at 9 a.m. Yeah, that was shocking. It looked like, just to me, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but on the video, it looks like Kavanaugh frowned.
Yeah.
And didn't make any attempt to reach out his hand to Mr. Gutenberg, who was the father of one of the Parkland victims.
I'm going to show you what kind of a man he is and how sympathetic he is.
Yeah. Okay, Danny, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks. You know, I want to be careful. I don't know. I wasn't there. The video didn't look good, but there might be more to that story than what we know. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Matt, who's in Tampa. Hey, Matt, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, this is a different Matt, you know, there's a lot of Matt.
Yeah.
I want to first shout out my appreciation to you, Rob. I really appreciate your show. But one of the previous callers who said that, that, you know, you just got to take it how it comes to you. I mean, I don't know how a lot of people will react to that when, you know, right now recording technology is showing that people in Chicago are being, you know, baited by the police department. People are being openly shot, you know, on camera. You know, I don't know how those people are just going to take it how it comes to them. But I want to focus my 2 points very quickly. One, I think what this shows is that I think it's bizarre. It's a bizarre form of conservative protest to destroy things that you've already bought, especially when those things are being, you know, produced at, you know, by oppression, you know, by inexpensive, I think almost slave labor overseas. I mean, I think that's bizarre for people to, you know, show that form of protest. And we've already saw that when Fox News something like, where people stopped the advertising or sponsoring a Fox News host, people destroyed the Keurig. You know, that's a conservative form of protest. And my second point is, I think we should be examining how these companies become the face of social justice movement. I mean, at the Pride Parade in St. Pete, I saw like Raytheon and Citi and like the police in front of like the trans parade. Like that doesn't make any sense. Raytheon produces weapons which, you know, destroy the homes of many working class people overseas. Why are these people at the front of a population that's experienced, you know, violence you know, or domestically. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Matt, I think those are both good points. The wages that Nike pays are probably similar to the wages that every other sports company pays, that when you buy any of those things, you're probably benefiting from the low wages that are paid in Taiwan or Vietnam or China. And I think that's horrible. And I think we got to point that out. Nike isn't just 100% good on this if you're a fan of Kaepernick's. So I think it's important that you pointed that out. The other question about militarism of American society, that's a huge question. I mean, you know, and Matt, I know you know this. Every dollar we spend on the military is essentially a borrowed dollar. Back in World War II, we taxed people and we had bond campaigns to pay for the military. We no longer do that. And so all these Republicans who are complaining about the heavy federal deficit, well, one of the biggest reasons we have that huge federal deficit is overspending on the military, Exhibit A being the F-35. We'll talk more about this. And Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
You know, it should be part of the debate. It's not part of the debate on commercial stations or CNN. It should be part of the debate. And we can have a great debate. Do we spend enough, too much, too little, or just a wasteful amount on the military? That should be part of what we debate in our society. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11. Stay tuned for NOLA. This is WMNF Tampa.